I so appreciate that update that came from Pastor Walker this morning. How many of you do appreciate that? It's good to know that God is doing wonderful things. Amen. So, Pastor Walker said, any opportunity you get to use the word penultimate, use it. So, I'm going to use that today. This is the penultimate sermon in the series. This is the penultimate sermon in the series from 1 John, walk in light, walk in love, and walk in life. Shall we pray? We thank you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for your grace and for your mercy. Now, Lord, we pray that as your word comes forth, that you would do what only you can do. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. In Jesus' precious name we pray and appreciate the understanding that you're going to give us today. Amen. Would you please in your Bibles turn with me to First John chapter number 5, and we're going to look at the first five verses. First John chapter number 5. So John writes, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Born of God is mentioned in this text three times. In verse number 1, born of God, we see, and we see it again, mentioned, born of God. And so the key idea there, born of God, you know, to just kind of put it in simple words, is to be born again, is to be regenerated, to have the new birth experience. Jesus told Nicodemus, a very religious man, you must be born again. And then Nicodemus asks Jesus, how can that be? Can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born and come back again? Jesus says, no. Unless a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Meaning that there is an initial birth that we go through, which is a physical birth. But then there is a spiritual birth that we have to encounter while we are this side of eternity. And so we've spent a reasonable amount of time looking into the book of 1 John. We trust and we pray that the teachings that have been shared, your reading in the book of 1 John, have enriched your Christian walk and your experience. And now what remains as we come towards the end of this series is to walk in the reality of God's light, is to live in the fullness of his love, and to allow his life to flow in and through us. Now, as is my custom, I always like to ask a question. If that word born again or born of God is listed several times, it's perhaps the main emphasis of this text. It's the main emphasis. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ or Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, or rather, in other words, has been born again. And then by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God, again, the word born again, to be renewed, to be regenerated, overcomes the world. Again, so what the question this morning is, what are the signs of a life that has been born of God? What are the signs of a life that has been born of God? Or in other words, what are the signs of being born again? What are the signs of being regenerated? A long time ago when I was young, so I was raised, we were raised in a religious home. We belonged to a mainstream traditional church. I will not mention the name of the church. And my aunt, who's late now, you know, came back after being gone for a while, and she said, she came back and she told the rest of my family, the rest of my aunts, her siblings, that she had become born again. It was a strange term. And if you remember in the 1990s, there was a term, I'll say it in the colloquial, the vernacular, my born again. You know, my born again. It's as if it's as though there was Christianity in its normal order, and then there was this sudden sect that just emerged that's been referred to as my born again. Well, you've heard Pastor Walker say this, I'll re-echo what he has said. There's only one type of Christian, and that is the born again Christian. It doesn't matter what denomination you belong to. Hopefully, the denomination that you belong to teaches the Bible in its entirety and will lead you to a place of being born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say you must be Methodist. He didn't say you must be Catholic. He didn't say you must be Pentecostal. He didn't say you must be Charismatic. He didn't say you must be Anglican. Jesus said you must be born again. If anything, none of the denominations that we try to affiliate ourselves with, none of the denominations that we identify ourselves with are listed or mentioned in Scripture. I think the closest that you get are actually the Baptists and the Pentecostals. John was a Baptist. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, got filled with the Holy Ghost. Pentecost, so you can tie it to them. But anyway. but the other ones, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm still looking. If you found it at the end of the service, please come and show me. So what are the signs of a life that is born again? The importance of signs can never be underestimated. They help us in our walk of life. They help us in our journey. They help us make easy transition or passage. Signs are important. Signs are important. When Brother Moffat was standing here, he mentioned to all the visitors, and we welcome you, that at the end of the service, look out for the sign that says, first time guests. And turn into that room. It's a sign. It's meant to give you direction. It's meant to aid you and to help you. God does not want to leave us in the dark. He wants to give us understanding and knowledge. And so the book of 1 John is the book in the Bible that is almost totally devoted to giving us the signs of being born again. It's totally devoted to giving us the signs of being born again. John wrote this letter to provide the church with a test meter or a criteria of knowing their spiritual life. It's a measurement of knowing, of determining if one is born again or not. One of the most fruitful things that you could do for yourself is to go through this book of 1 John. Re-examine it. And as you do that, we also encourage you to go back and listen to the messages that were preached. Now today, in the time that we have, I will attempt to give in a sense a summary or a review of what has already been said, what has been preached. I just want to bring together everything that is contained in the book of 1 John, and using the text for this morning as our launch pad to point us to how we can identify the signs that will help us in our journey of walk, in our journey of faith, in our walk with the Lord. So in this penultimate sermon on the book of 1 John, let's just give a summary of what are the main things in this book. And by looking at three main points. Number one, why did John write this letter to born-again Christians? Why did John write this letter to born-again Christians? Number two, is to look at what is the evidence that you are born again. And then number three, can I have number three? How does one walk in this new life? How does one walk in this new life of being born again? So let's look at those three questions in that order. The first question, why did John write this letter to born again Christians? Why did John write this letter to born again Christians? Now, he himself gives us the reasons of why he wrote this letter. He doesn't leave us to assume. He doesn't leave us to guess. He already gave us the reasons. And the reasons are contained in the letter itself. The reasons are contained in the book. Let's list down some of the reasons. The first reason, he says, is found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 4. He says, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. We are writing these things so that your joy, our joy, may be complete. One of the goals of John for writing this letter was that we might have joy. When you are born again, you are filled with joy. Not joy that comes because of circumstances, situations. Not joy that comes because of the clothes that you wear, I like to say this, or the car that you drive, or the house that you live in, or your or earthly material possessions. Joy that comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven. Joy that comes from an assurance that salvation brings. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. This joy of salvation becomes your strength and your stay through life. That I know that I know that I'm saved. That I know that I know I'm not damned. That I know that I know there is a hope and a future for me. It brings great joy. Reason number two. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so John hopes that this letter, this book, will give us a fresh power to overcome sin. We are to respond to God's mercy with a life of obedience. And you see, part of the method of helping us overcome sin is to assure us that our failures do not have to be fatal. That our failures are not final. Notice, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Grace has been made available for you and for me to live a life victorious over sin. Now, he says, he didn't say when. If, just peradventure, you do sin, your sin doesn't have to be fatal. Your sin doesn't have to be final. You can overcome. And you can get out. Amen. Number three, 1 John 2, verse 12 and 13. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. In other words, John is filled with hope that the ones he's writing to are true believers. He calls them little children, describing the stages of spiritual growth. He calls them little children. Towards the end, he refers to young men, and then in the middle, he refers to fathers. So let me put it in this order. When we become saved, we are first like little children. That's what it's called. Jesus called it being born again. Any mother, you know, all the mothers were dedicating their children. All those babies who have been dedicated were born as babies, but they will not stay babies. The only person who came on the earth as a full adult was Adam. Everybody else after Adam was born a baby. And so when we get born again, just like it is physically, when we get born again, we are born again as babies. Nobody gets born again a full grown, mature Christian. You get born again as a baby, a little child. Then you become a young man. And with time, with dedication of commitment, you become a father. In a sense, a father is a full-grown adult. A father is a full-grown, mature Christian who's living out the fullness of the grace of God bestowed upon them. And John wants you to know, you who's born again, that your sins are forgiven, that you know God, and that you have triumphed over the evil one. Number four. 1 John 2 verse 21. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is in the truth. So this letter is not to get you started in your Christian life. Rather, it's to confirm that you are on the right path. So this letter is written to born again Christians to confirm to them that they're on the right path. So a couple of weeks ago, maybe three, we took a road trip to Livingstone with my wife to celebrate our second anniversary. And now I've driven Livingstone several times. However, there are also signs that tell me that I'm headed towards Livingstone. For me, the first sign is to cross the Kafue Bridge. The second sign is to be on a road that says Chikankata, 30 kilometers. Okay, I'm on the right path. And then I'll look for a town that says Welcome to Mazaboka. Okay, I'm on the right path. Keep on driving. The next sign is I'll look to Welcome to Monze. And then the next sign will say Choma, 100 or 220 kilometers. Livingstone, 300 and whatever kilometers. I'm thinking I'm on the right path. Then I see, and then I cross the toll gate. It says, there's a toll gate plaza there before you get into Choma, the Munkombwe toll gate plaza. That's the sign. I'm on the right track. Then I see a sign that says Welcome to Choma. I keep on going. I don't stop in Choma. I keep on going. I'm headed. So the book of John is meant to be a sign to you as a believer that you're on the right track. That you know this is where I'm headed to. So it's meant to be a sign. Number five. 1 John 2 verse 26. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. So there is a caution and a warning to born again Christians. He's concerned that there will be false teachers. Jesus warned us in the gospel that in the last days false teachers and false prophets will arise, deceiving even the very elect. That they will be propagating a wrong gospel, which in some instances, even the elect are believers, are the born again Christians, that even the elect will be susceptible to their deception. So John writes this book to warn you and me, the born-again Christian. This letter is meant to protect us from those who would want to lead us astray. In other words, the fact that we are born again does not mean that we no longer need to take caution. We need to be cautious because we are still in this world. Number six, 1 John 5, in verse number 13. 1 John 5 in verse number 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. This is one of the most constant themes in the book of 1 John. That we may know that we have eternal life. This book is meant to help you know that you have eternal life. I write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. That is, that you may know that you are born again. That you may know that you have crossed over from death to life. That you may know that you have been chosen in the Beloved. That you may know that you have an eternal destiny, and that destiny is to be with God forevermore. That you may know that your sins have been forgiven and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There are some people who hold that, you know, we will only know if we are saved when we get the judgment seat. You know, when we get the judgment seat, that's when you know. No, you mustn't say you are saved because you don't know. No. Well, I don't know where they base that from, because the Bible is very clear. I write these things to you that you may know. And so you can do this exercise. If you could please just bring that text back for me, 1 John 5 and verse number 13. Where it says you, replace it with your name. I write these things to. Put your name there. I write these things to Miriam, who believes the name of the Son of God, that Miriam may know that Miriam has eternal life. It's a now reality. It's something that you know. So, this is how John sums it up. I'm writing this letter to you because you are true believers. But there are deceivers in your midst, and I want you to be rock solid confident in your present possession of eternal life as born again children of God, so that you are not drawn after or away by sin. And the effect of this letter is that you will live your lives in joy. That is why John wrote this letter. John wrote this letter that you might know that you are a true believer, that you might be aware that yes, there will be deceivers amongst us. But don't let that move you. Don't let that shake you. That you might have rock solid confidence in the fact that you possess this eternal life. Do you have rock solid confidence that you're sitting on a chair right now? You do, right? And John wants you to have rock-solid confidence that you are saved, that you have an eternal destiny, and that you will be with God. John also wants to caution you and warn you not to be drawn away by sin. Don't let sin sweep you over. Don't let sin override your life. And then John also wants you to be filled with joy. To be filled with joy. One of the marks, like I said, of our Christian faith is to be filled with joy. We used to sing that song, there is a joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I am so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I am so happy. So very happy, I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I'm not happy because of this or because of that. I'm not happy because of a position or a title. I'm happy because I have the love of Jesus in my heart. That is a sure stay. Question number two, what is the evidence that you're born again? Now, what is the evidence that you're born again? Now, I began by telling you that if you want to know that you're going to Livingstone, you look for evidence, right? The evidence. So, if you said you're going to Livingstone, and then you see the sign that says 100 kilometers to Kabwe, 397 kilometers to Ndola, are you headed to Livingstone? Well, you might eventually, I mean, you're going to have to go. I don't know how you fight. You have to go around and come back. But it's going to be a long and a painful journey, honestly. If you said you're going to Livingston, and then you see the sign that says 99 kilometers to Mumbwa, Well, you might, if you go through Western Province, it's a very long journey. One of the signs for an easy journey to Livingstone, you want to be able to see the sign that says Mazabuka, Choma, Kalomo, Zimba, and then Livingstone. So what are the signs that you are truly a born-again Christian? What are the signs? Some years ago, when I was young, I think I must have been 13 years old. And you know, you're never too young to know the Lord. You're never too young. I must have been 12, 13 years old. I was at an SU camp, Scripture Union camp. And a brother, I can't even remember him. I can't even remember, but his conversation impacted my life. He just came to where I was sitting. I think he came from Lusaka. That camp was in was at Kasama Girls in Kasama. He just came to me during tea break, and he said to me, how do you know that you are born again? And I said, oh, I pray. He says, well, no, that's not the sign of being born again. He says, how do you know that you're born again? I said, I read the Bible. He says, well, even atheists read the Bible. He says, I go to church. He says, well, even non-believers go to church. And I listed everything I could figure out. Brother, just tell me how I know that I'm born again. And then he turned with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, Benjamin, or he actually used the other name Jordan, because that's who I used to use, Jordan. He says, Jordan, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal. And then he asked me this question, do you believe in Jesus? I said, I do. He says, that is what you need to know. I have never forgotten that conversation. What are the signs? How would you respond if someone asked you, what is the evidence that you are born again? How would you respond? Would you say, I dress born again? I eat born again? Or I drink born again? Or I sing born again? How would you respond if someone asked you that question? John gives us some evidence signs from this book that shows that we are born again. This actually could be summed up in two words. Which are listed at the end of chapter number 13 of 1 Corinthians. Now abides these three things, faith, hope, and love. But of these two, that John says are the summary of the evidence that we are born again, is firstly, faith. Faith towards God, faith in God. And then secondly, love. Love for God and love for others. So how do you know that you're truly born again? You have faith in God or faith towards God. And then secondly, how do you know that you're born again? You love God and you love God's people. Let me use another vernacular term that people use. They say church in Palobe, church in Mumutima. Meaning that church is in your heart. You heard me say this before, right? That's not true. Now, salvation is worked in your heart, in your life, and it manifests outside. But church is not on your own. Church is not in your heart. What I'm trying to say is this. You cannot claim to love Jesus and not love his church. You cannot claim to love Jesus and not love his church. Anyone who claims to love me and does not love my wife does not love me. If you don't love my bride, you don't love me. If you're hostile towards my bride, you're hostile towards me. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus and the church are one. Jesus is the head. The church is the body. So you can't say I love the head, but I don't love the rest of the body. And church is not you. Church is the called out, not the called out one, the called out ones. The ecclesia. The chosen ones, the select. Church is not the building. Church are the people. Collectively together. So what are the signs that we are born again? Is faith in God. And then love for God. And love for God's people. The greatest commandment is summed up in this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So John gives us a few indicatives that we are born again. Let's quickly run through them. Number one, he says, those who are born again keep his commandments. Those who are born again keep his commandments. 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 3 and verse number 24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. We keep his commandments. Number two, those who are born again walk as Christ walked. Those who are born again walk as Christ walked. 1 John 2 verse 5 and 6. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So those who are born again live their lives the way he lived his life. They walk the way Jesus walked. Number three, those who are born again don't hate others, but rather love them. 1 John 2 verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. 1 John 3, verse number 14. We know that we have passed out of life, out of death rather, into life because we love our brothers. Keep that verse on. We know that we have passed out of death into life. How do we know? Because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Meaning that you remain dead in your trespasses. 1 John 3, verse number 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. Say those words with me. Beloved, let us love one another. That is an imperative. It is not a suggestion. I'm making a suggestion. No, it's an imperative. It's something that we need to do. 1 John 4 verse 20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Four, those who are born again don't love the world. 1 John 2 verse 15. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Number five, those who are born again acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is, they acknowledge the deity of Jesus Christ. 1 John 2 verse 23. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. In other words, you can't believe in God the Father if you don't believe in God the Son. That's why the so-called faiths that reduce Jesus to nothing but a Son of God, not the Son of God, are not true Christian faiths. 1 John 4 verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. And he in God. 1 John 5 verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Number 6. Those who are born again practice righteousness. Those who are born again practice righteousness. 1 John 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who or anyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Those who are born again practice righteousness. Number 7. Those who are born again do not make a practice of sinning. 1 John 3, verse 6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. In other words, when you've come to know Jesus and you're born again, you become uncomfortable with sin. I can ask this question. Can someone be born again and continue to live a life of sin? No. It's as if, you know, have you ever taken wet socks and worn them on dry shoes? Have you? Oh, I have once. You know, my grandmother used to make us wash our socks every day. So sometimes we wouldn't. But then she'd do an inspection in the morning. So we went into deceiver, would wash them very quickly before we get up. And then go to school with wet socks. Very uncomfortable. Very bad feeling. It's very uncomfortable. It's like going into the shower with your clothes, all your clothes on, and hoping to take a decent shower. 1 John 3, verse 9 and 10. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. You see, there is a seed that God has deposited in you that keeps you from sinning. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Now, this is not a call to perfection. It's a call to sanctification. The process of being made perfect. You realize this is not consummate with my character. It's not consummate with my new nature. I'm different. I don't have to walk down this path anymore. Not only I don't have to walk down this path, I don't want to walk down this path anymore. The things I used to do, I do them no more. By this, it is evident who the children of God are. And who are the children of the devil? Whoever does not practice... You know, John is very straight to the point. He's not mincing his words. By this it is evident who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. In other words, he's a child of the devil. Nor is the one who does not love his brother. So those who are born again don't make a practice of sinning. 1 John 5 verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him, meaning the Son of God. And the evil one cannot touch him. Number 8. Those who are born again are filled with the Spirit of God. Those who are born again are filled with the Spirit of God. 1 John 3. And verse number 24. By this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. You know that you are born again because you are filled with the Spirit of God. 1 John 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit. The guarantee of our salvation. Number 9, those who are born again submit to the word of God. They submit to the word of God. 1 John 4 and verse number 6. We are from God, John says. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So, in other words, John is saying, whoever believes what is written in the scripture, whoever abides and lives his life based upon what the scripture says, is born again. And then lastly, those who are born again overcome the world and walk in faith. 1 John 5 verse 4, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So let's conclude by looking at how does one walk in this new life? How does one walk in this new life? Let's go back to the text for this morning. 1 John 5 verse 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So we walk in this new life by, firstly, most importantly, is that we need to be born again. You must be born again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. You must be born again. If you are here and you're not born again, we call you today to come to that place where you make a decision to become born again. That is to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. To be born again is to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. To believe that God, that Jesus died and God raised him back to life. To be born again means that you confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ. To be born again means that you place your complete trust or your faith in Christ alone for your salvation. To be born again means that you place your faith in Jesus to make you a new creation. To be born again is not to wear a church uniform or to carry a crucifix or a rosary or to be baptized or to sleep with a Bible by your pillow. To be born again is to place your complete trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and to say, I look to no one else for my salvation. Serve Jesus. That is the beginning of a turning point of repentance from your sins and towards the saving grace of God. Number two, you must walk in love. How do we live this? That we walk in love. 1 John 5 and verse number 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So we walk in love. Loving people is the fruit of our faith. Loving people is the fruit of our faith. Now, it's pretty obvious that if we follow the train of thought of John from chapter number 4, verse number 20, and then we go to chapter number 5, it says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So it appears that the specific obedience that John is writing here in mind is to love God as we love other people. That's why Jesus said all the commandments, the 10 commandments are summed up in these two commandments. Love God, love other people. Some people are too stuck on the semantics of the commandments. They fail to express love for other people. Love God, love other people. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So it's not necessarily listing down all the commandments. Okay, a checklist, have I done this? You know what? When you love people, you won't lie. When you love people, you won't steal. When you love people, when you love people more than you love yourself, you will not commit adultery or fornication. Fornication and adultery is actually an act of selfishness. It's not loving the person. It's loving your flesh. It's loving convenience. It's loving pleasure. And we are not to love pleasure. We are to love God. Number three, how do we walk in this? We keep his commandments. Verse 3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Sometimes people equate keeping his commandments to loving God. They often quote John 14, verse 16, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But the text clearly distinguishes loving Christ from obeying his commandments. In other words, there is an order that is to follow. First, we love God. If you love me, that's one thing. If you keep my commandment, that's another thing. So there is an order that we follow. The order is this. Firstly, we love God. And remember that he first loved us. So we allow the love of God to fill us. And then when we are full of the love of God and we love him back, we have what it takes to love other people or to obey or to keep his commandments. It is not wrong to say that loving Jesus or loving God includes doing what he commands, but that's not all there is to it. Which is why John says in 1 John 5 verse 3, and his commandments are not burdensome. Loving God is not just external obedience. It means having a heart that doesn't find the commandments of God burdensome. And what commandments are those? They are summed up in this: love God and love other people. But the only way that you can fully obey God, the only way you can fully walk in the commandments of God, is when you bring yourself in a place where you are filled with his love. This is why Paul in Ephesians and Colossians prays that we might be filled with the knowledge of his love. You will never be able to fully obey the commandments of God if you are not filled with God's love. The reason why people struggle obeying God is because they have not come to a place where they are filled with God's love. When you are filled with God's love, you no longer view the commandments or the instructions of God as burdensome. They are a pleasure. They are a joy. And people like to quote that scripture that he will grant us the desires of our hearts. Grant me the desires of my heart. No, you see, grant me the desires of my heart can only be fulfilled when the desires of your heart, or in other words, grant me the desires of my heart can only be fulfilled when your heart's desire is his desire. When your heart's desire is him. And when you come to a place where you are filled with his love, he becomes your desire. My desire is to know the Lord. My desire. We used to sing those songs. My desire is to know the Lord, because when I know the Lord, when I'm filled with his love, his commandments, his instructions are not burdensome. And then lastly, you must walk in faith. You must walk in faith. Look at verse number 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Walking in faith means that you don't let the things of this world turn you from Christ. Walking in faith means that you don't let the things of this world turn you from Christ. And that is what it means to have overcoming faith. I am not moved by the things around me. Walking in faith means that you are not led by what is seen, because what is seen is temporal. Walking in faith is you don't let the temporal things of this world determine or influence your eternal destiny. Too many people are stuck on temporal things. Things that will pass away. Things that will not stand the test of time. Walking in faith means that you trust the word of God above all else. You trust the word of God above all else. It means you trust the word of God above your feelings. You trust the word of God above your instinct, as it were. You trust the word of God above your gut. That feeling, that's amazing. If it's not consumed with the word of God, it must bow. The word of God must stand. Meaning, walking in faith means that you trust the word of God above money, above position, above status. And John says, that is the victory that overcomes the world. I am not moved by what I see. You said it. I believe it. It is done. Shall we pray? God, we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. We pray, Lord, today that these words that have been spoken today will not only encourage us, but they'll cross the place of reflection and the examination in the light of your grace, in the light of your word. Father, here are some people who need to be encouraged. We pray right now by the Spirit of the Lord that you would encourage them. Here are some people that need to be reassured. We pray right now, Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, you will reassure them. Lord, here are some people right now that need to feel God's love flood and saturate their hearts once again. Lord, we pray that your love would flood and saturate the hearts of your children in a great and a mighty way. They don't have to stay in that place where they feel or they think that you are far away, because, Lord, you are not far away. You care. You are concerned. You are working. You are opening doors, Lord. You are shutting the doors that need to be shut. You are giving strength. You are giving hope. We thank you, Father. Also here, Lord, we recognize there are some people who are not born again. And so we pray by the Spirit of the Lord that you bring them to a place of conviction.